mindfulness mode.
At some points in life, preparation becomes procrastination because you don't want to get started on something.
Hey, Mindful Tribe, welcome to the show once again. I'm looking forward to talking to today's guest. He's dedicated to helping young adults destroy their self-limitations. And wow, we know what that's like. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that we're battling with self-limitation issues. He wants to help you grow outside your comfort zone, both in business and life. Now this guy, he's really rocking it. He's a young CEO of a company called Interval. He has a podcast that's just rocking. His podcast is very interesting. I just checked it out myself and it's called Get Over Yourself. And isn't that what we need to do? I know I do sometimes. I think we probably all do. My guest today is Brandon Davis. Brandon, hey man, are you in mindfulness mode today?
You know what? I am feeling like I'm in mindfulness mode right now. I think that's a funny phrase you use at the beginning of every show because I think it's a constant struggle and it's a constant effort to be in that kind of state of mind. But right now, talking to you, I like the sound of your voice. I'm in a relaxed environment, got my water right next to me. I think I am.
Awesome. That's fantastic. So what does mindfulness mean to you, Brandon?
Mindfulness to me is a state of mind. And I know that kind of coincides with the name itself. But coming from my Christian background, I'm a man of faith. I'm a strong believer in Christ. And so one of my kind of mindfulness moments that I have inside of my life is prayer. And so it's a simple effort of sitting down, not listening to any of the world's distractions, closing my eyes and just praying. And for other people, you might call that meditation. I think they go hand in hand, whether you're a believer, whether you're kind of more just connecting with the earth. I think both those things have meaning in and of themselves. Just sitting down, not focusing on my phone, my laptop, my TV, all the screens around me constantly, not focusing on even the other people surrounding me. In that moment and just sitting there, closing my eyes and connecting from myself to God.
Yeah, that's cool, Brandon. I can relate to that. And, you know, I think it's really interesting that you work to help people with their mindset. And you have this podcast called Get Over Yourself. So what took you to the point that you wanted to actually call your podcast Get Over Yourself?
Yeah, kind of funny. This story goes all the way back to my early middle school days. Yeah. So way when I was younger. You know how in middle school, a lot of kids, they worry about things that at the time seem like it's life-changing and it's the most important thing ever.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really mean anything. So I'm talking about when you're in middle school, what are your biggest fears and your biggest worries? It's if your crush likes you back. It's if you're going to do good in your sporting event that evening. It's if you got a good grade on your test. It's these things that, once again, in a middle schooler's mind, it means everything. But in the grand scheme of things, what does one basketball game mean? What does one failed test mean? Absolutely nothing in the grand scheme. And so I remember I started coining this phrase back at the time. It was a simple joke just to irritate some of my friends. They would do bad in their sporting event. They would do bad on the test. Their crush didn't like them back, whatever it was. And so when they'd be freaking out over it, I'd simply say, hey, it's fine. Get over yourself. And this coined phrase I started using, this get over yourself, like I said, it started off as this joke. But over time, I recognized, hey, if I'm able to apply this into my own mindset rather than saying it as a joke, the amount of power that will have inside of my life is going to be just through the roof. And so I started doing just that. And so I started every single event that happened in my life. If I was getting angry, if I was confused, if I was kind of irritated with myself or somebody else, simple phrase was able to fix that solution. Hey, it's okay. It'll all be okay. Just get over yourself in this moment and we'll be able to get through this. And obviously I'm still practicing just like Bruce here, the master of mindfulness. He has the podcast on it. I doubt you're going to ever claim to be perfect at it 24/7. And if you do, props off to you.
Totally not.
I don't know how you did it.
Then I'll be told, get over yourself.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, we deal with these things every day and, you know, we have this ego thing going on. And of course, the ego, wouldn't you agree? The ego is created to protect us. So it's kind of an interesting thing because, yes, we have to get over ourselves, but the ego also is doing its job to try to protect us. What do you think about that?
Well, what you just said reminded me, I'm a big country fan. So anybody out there who's not a country fan, I apologize for throwing this reference at you. But there's a Toby Keith song where he says, "I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I want to talk about number one. Oh my, me, my." So the whole song is about how a lot of times we're constantly listening to other people, but we're not getting the time to kind of say our own word. And I think there's a healthy balance in life. Of course, every single human being, whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, you're an optimist, you're a pessimist, whatever kind of category you've pinned yourself in, you still want to have your story be told. For every single one of us, Bruce, you're the main character of your story. I'm the main character of my story. My wife, she's the main character of hers, and the list goes on and on. But at the same time, we need to find the balance of, okay, telling my stories, like Toby Keith says, finding I want to talk about me, versus letting other people tell their stories. Because we're all in different moments inside of our life. And I think this is where mindfulness really connects in. There's going to be times where you need your story to be told. And inside of you, you need to get something out. You need to share that moment.
Yeah, that's
But there's going to be
absolutely
other
true.
times where you need your story not to be heard. You need to hear somebody else's. Just like any good book you listen to on Audible, you need to hear their story because sometimes they need to get that off their chest. So that's what I was picturing when you talked about ego there.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Thanks for sharing that. Well, I read in your bio, Brandon, that you are the CEO of a company called Interval, and it's a virtual AI thing. So are you an AI expert of some kind? So what's going on?
Same as you here, I'm not going to claim to be an expert. AI is ever changing. I'm not one of the high ups at Microsoft or OpenAI or anything like that that is constantly working on this. I merely adopted their tools.
Cool.
And
But
so,
you
and
must
when I
know a lot
say I'm
about
going to
it,
call
though.
my, I would say I know a decent amount. Once again, not going to claim to be perfect here, but in this term CEO, you throw out there pretty loosely. We have less than 10 employees, so nothing fancy about it whatsoever. But we're headed in the right direction. The basic premise of it is, like you said, it's called Interval. It's an AI receptionist for automotive businesses. So the theory is when you call into your local mechanic's store shop, your car's broken down, whatever it may be, you call into the shop. Most of the time, if they're kind of medium to small size shop, they don't have a traditional front office that's constantly manning the phones for them. And so the issue is mechanics will be out working in their bays underneath cars, doing whatever to fix somebody else's car before you. The phone rings, and if they're too busy at one point, there they are. They're still working on the cars they have. But if they have the time to get up and actually go walk over to the phones, it distracts them from the customer who's before you. And so what our software does is it simply answers the phone for them. And it schedules appointments, answers any questions that the customer may have, and takes it from there, just like a normal human receptionist would, but it's all done over the phone.
And so then do they pick it up on a like is it like a recording? They pick it up on a recording sort of thing?
No, so it handles everything. So you talk to it. Bruce, have you ever used
Oh
ChatGPT or
yeah, a
Azure or any
lot.
of these?
A
Yeah.
lot.
So you know how it goes. It's a basic prompt you type in and it gives you a response. So it's kind of the same premise, but it's all verbal. So Bruce, you call into your mechanic shop and you say, "Hey, I wanted to know if you guys can work on Volkswagen Jettas, for an example." "Yes, we do work on Volkswagen Jettas." "Okay, perfect. Can I come in on Thursday at 2 o'clock?" "Sorry, we don't have any appointments Thursday at 2, but we can get you in at Friday at 4. Does that work?" So it just has a conversation back and forth with the human.
Interesting. That's really cool. And I just came from my mechanics just now. So that's
Oh, there
really
we go.
interesting that you have this business and you have a number of employees and you've been doing it about a year. What are your dreams for this company?
So obviously, as we all know, AI is kind of the direction every business is headed. And there's going to be implementations. Every time you open social media, you see the next AI ad. Every time you listen to a podcast, AI is brought up. It's the thing. It's the internet of the early 1990s, 2000s. That's where it's headed. But on a faster trajectory. So my theory initially was, okay, I want to get some skin in the game. I started using ChatGPT right when it came out. And I've been studying and listening to AI talk, I guess you can call it, for a long time now. And I realized there's so many amazing ways you can use this for a business's benefit. And so the reason why I kind of stumbled upon Interval and the reason why we started creating that is because back a little over a year and a half ago, I was calling into my local Walgreens And I was faced with kind of their own chatbot where I talked back and forth to it and I was able to get my prescription and know that it was ready within a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't know, Bruce, if you've ever called into Walgreens or any other large pharmaceutical company, holy cow, it takes forever because they're fulfilling orders, they're understaffed, and it just is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So the fact that I was able to get my answer and say, yep, your prescription is ready, come and get it, within 2 minutes was just astounding to me.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about their system, it's not very robust. It can only answer a handful of questions. But for me right then, it saved me time and effort, and I didn't have to wait on hold.
Yeah.
On the contrary, the person I decided to co-found my company with, he called into a local pharmacy. He was back home visiting his family for Thanksgiving. His pharmacy wasn't any of the chains, your CVS, your Walgreens, your Longs, anything like that. He called into his local mom-pa shop. And that's exactly what he had to do. He waited on hold over 2 hours to finally answer the phone. And he lives in kind of a rural town, and so it takes about 25 minutes to go drive to the store to go pick up the prescriptions. And he's sitting there thinking, I feel awful. I'm not going to drive over there just to be told no. So he just put his phone on speaker on low and just turned it down, and he sat there for 2 hours on hold.
Wow.
And so we realized, holy cow, do other businesses face this? We eventually stumbled upon automotive, and that's kind of where we're taking it. But the overall goal of the company is, as we know, AI is taking off. And we want to be the ones who are kind of bridging that gap between human and AI, that gap, that bridge between the two. And we recognize not everyone likes talking to an AI over the phone. If you talk to robots before, a lot of the times people will say human, 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 and you get frustrated. So what we're trying to do is make a system that can answer every question you would possibly ever have. That way you don't need to talk to a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope this doesn't sound rude to anyone out there who's listening. And heck, my wife, she used to work reception and she completely agrees. Receptionist duties, and besides receptionists, there's plenty of jobs here that us humans don't need to be doing anymore.
Yeah.
We have more brain power than to simply pick up a phone, say the same repetitive lines. Yes, we're open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Yes, we could see you on Friday at 3 o'clock. Yes, we service that kind of vehicle. Our human minds are made for something more. So we truly believe if we can get our system to answer every kind of question, do everything that a normal receptionist would be able to do. In the meantime, yes, it might take a couple jobs, but in the long term, I truly believe it's going to open up human capability for something far greater. Humans are going to have to adapt their minds to do something greater. That way, a simple robot can't just do it for you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Brandon. I really like that. And then you spend a lot of your time helping people with their self-limitations. And that sounds like quite a different kind of job, quite a different undertaking. And of course, I mentioned your podcast already, Get Over Yourself. But tell us about that. Do you coach people? Do you help people that way? Or how do you go about this?
So I did a little bit of consulting a few years ago for sales organizations. Mm-hmm. As you know, salesmen go through the day in, day out of constant mindset struggles. They face rejection every single day. Heck, some of these salesmen I worked with, they average maybe a couple of sales a year. They're bigger sales, so it pays the salary. But Imagine going to work every single day, facing constant rejection every single day, thinking, you know what? I could make 300 calls and send 300 cold emails today, and it'll probably amount to nothing. But you still have to show up because it's just one of those calls or one of those emails or one of those doors knocked or whatever it may be that is going to say yes. So I worked with them for a little bit. My true passion for helping individuals overcome their self-limitations and fears and whatnot came from, I was doing missionary work. I did missionary work in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Bruce asked me right before we hopped on the call, why were you living in Brazil? I was doing missionary work there for quite a while, and I learned a lot from their culture. I learned about humility. I learned about openness and love towards your family. I saw this kind of obscure here in the United States, but I saw families, multiple families living in very small houses. We're talking about 13 people fitting in a 2-3 bedroom home with maybe one bathroom, and they loved it. They loved hanging out with their relatives. They loved being together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned a lot of humility while I was out there. Very, very big culture shock compared to the United States. And it taught me that there's so many things in life that here in the United States, I don't want to say we necessarily take for granted, but we do.
Yeah.
We overlook them in our day-to-day lives. And so one constant thing I always want to share with people who are going through the ringer, who are struggling, who are, you know, just kind of in their own headspace, is that at the end of the day, we are so blessed to be living here in the United States. We are so incredibly blessed. People are traveling hundreds of thousands of miles to get to the United States. You see all this stuff at the border, all the border crisis right now, and I'll keep the politics out of it, but these people are seeking for something better because they didn't have it inside of their lives in their home countries.
Yeah.
And so if I can come in and say, hey, even though you're struggling in area X, Y, or Z, just recognize these are where other people are at. These are their struggles. They struggle for food every day. They struggle for shelter. They struggle for a sense of belonging. They struggle for freedom. They struggle for a right to practice their religion. They struggle for these things. Do your struggles seem that big anymore? And of course, they never do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, I'm interested in the fact that you spent so much time in Brazil. Did you learn to speak Portuguese?
Yeah, so I originally went. I'm from Southern California. So growing up, my high school, I was one of the minorities being white over there. I was decently close to the border. And so most of the school, it was taught in English, but a lot of kids spoke Spanish. I didn't really pick anything up. I mean, your simple phrases and words. So when I got down to Brazil, very, very fresh, didn't speak a lick of Portuguese. Heck, I thought Portuguese was still Spanish basically at that point. Languages are similar, but they're not that similar.
No.
And so I got down there and my easiest way to learn was through prayer, asking God for help and just speaking and talking their language as much as I could. So right when I got down there, I immediately was immersed with the culture, the Brazilian people, and I just walk and talk on their streets and try and figure it out as I went. And eventually it came to me. It took a while, but I really do give all the credit to God because for the amount of time I was there, it should have taken a lot longer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And are you able to keep it up?
Yeah. Luckily, I still talk to a lot of my friends I met down there.
Oh, and good.
A lot of the people from local church congregations and projects we ran. And yeah. And so I get to speak at a decent amount still.
Well, that's great. Well, inside your podcast, you talk about various strategies on how to create a better version of yourself. Can you share a couple of those strategies with our listeners?
Absolutely. I'm glad you asked me that one. There's a principle I started living about a year and a half ago inside of my life. I call it my daily disciplines. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times as humans, when we get motivated, I believe motivation, let me throw this out there first. I believe motivation is very effective and I believe that helps. But what happens when the motivation dies off is you stop working on whatever goal you had. You may be motivated January 1st to go lose 50 pounds that year. You'll go crush it for 2 weeks to a month. And then what does every single person here on earth do after they make a New Year's resolution? They give up after a month, after 2 months, 3 months. They enjoy the thrill of something new and they enjoy the pleasure of doing something hard. But then when it becomes really hard, when their schedule doesn't want to admit it, when somebody doesn't believe in them, they give up. That's human nature. And to me personally, once again, hopefully nobody takes offense to this, but that drives me insane. It drives me absolutely bonkers that people just give up on their goals that they set. And so what I started doing about a year and a half ago to kind of relay my message and also to help grow my own mindset is my daily disciplines. My daily disciplines are little things inside of my day that do not at all disrupt my schedule, but it gets me out of my comfort zone every single day. So one thing I started doing a year and a half ago for my daily discipline was taking a cold shower. In the grand scheme of things, sure, there's a couple of health benefits. It wakes me up in the morning and whatnot. But my overarching reason on why I take a cold shower every day is my daily discipline is to merely get me out of my comfort zone. So I've been doing that for a year and a half now, over 500 days now. And I could say every single day when I get in that cold shower, I absolutely don't want to. My body starts shaking. I look like a wet puppy dog. It's not comfortable, but that's exactly why I do it. Because at the end of the day, if I could tell myself when I go through something harder, when something in my business isn't working, when I'm faced with a challenging conversation with a coworker or somebody, a friend or a loved one, when God's throwing me a curveball and I'm trying to hit a fastball, I can look at every situation I'm thrown in and say, hey, I was able to take a cold shower and have the discipline to do so every single day for over 500 days now. Why on earth can I not get through this? And I know that may seem silly for a lot of people out there, but it's consistency. It's making sure every single day I show up to take my cold shower, and that has created discipline. So other recommendations I leave for everyone out there, if a cold shower is not really up your alley, you're not huge into that, maybe you have a commute to work. And normally you turn on the radio station or you turn on Spotify or whatever it may be, and you just turn on and you plug in music and you go. Maybe my challenge for you, your new daily discipline as you commute to work, is turning on an audiobook or a podcast. Something to learn from. Maybe that's your new daily discipline. maybe every single day, you know, you have a spare 15 minutes when you wake up between your wake up, getting ready and going to work. Maybe you go on a 15 minute walk every day. It's not really disrupting your schedule, gets your body moving. That's your daily discipline. Perhaps it is taking the cold shower and you guys want to steal that kind of framework from me. Whatever daily discipline you choose, the most important thing about it is it becomes exactly that, a daily discipline.
Yeah, well, wait, I want to go back to that cold shower. I want to go back to that because I want to ask you. So when you first started doing that, did you just do it like cold at first and then you turned it back to warm? Or did you start warm at first and then you turned it to cold? How did you move yourself into that? Or did you just suddenly start taking like 4 minute ice cold showers just from the beginning to end?
I kind of just hopped into it. Maybe that won't work for everybody. Maybe it is starting off a little warm and then going to cold. I don't even remember why I originally started it. I think it was just a principle of like, hey, I'm just going to do this for a little bit and try it out. And then I like got hooked on it. And that's when I originally thought, okay, I'm going to keep doing this and keep doing this. So last year, over a year and a half ago, my goal was, all right, we're going to do this every single day. And I just haven't stopped since.
Wow, that's amazing. And your whole entire shower is cold. You don't have part about warm then.
No, I just hop in cold.
Oh, that's brave. That's brave. I did cold showers for a long time, but I would usually do like a warm shower for a minute or two, and then I would turn it to cold and then, you know, have like 1 or 2 minutes of cold shower. I'm curious how cold the shower is. I know that in different parts of the country, you know, you get different temperatures. I'm in Canada. Sometimes it's like really cold.
You get some cold.
Because we have a deep
well. I'm out here in Utah right now. Yeah. Out here in Utah, it's been pretty cold during the winter. During the summer, it's not that big of a deal, but during the winter, it feels pretty nice.
Yeah, well, it does really give your body a jolt, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But that's the theory for everyone. Get you out of your comfort zone. Do something that will give your body a jolt, but make sure it won't disrupt your schedule. That's the overall theme.
Yeah.
Because if it disrupts your schedule, you're going to do exactly what you do with your New Year's resolutions. You're going to give up.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to become too mundane. It's going to become too hard of a task to maintain. This one you could do every single day. It doesn't matter if you're traveling, if you're at work, anything. You can get it done. That's your daily discipline.
That's true. And I like your idea of listening to an audio book or something like that every day. I know you really appreciate David Goggins. Tell me about that, how you got kind of into his story and into his, you know, way of living his life. How has that inspired you?
You know, Bruce, it's going to be funny. As soon as my wife hears this episode, she's just going to roll her eyes. She can't stand that guy.
Oh,
because
really?
Every time when, oh yeah, she thinks he is just absolutely crazy. And I go, he is crazy. That's why I love him. I love him because he's a master of his mind. And I recognize this. I tell this with my wife. He is not an end all be all. He is not a Christ figure. He is not like the most amazing role model on earth, but he has mastered his mind. I don't listen to him. If he was giving me marital advice, sorry, David, you're not my guy whatsoever. Been through a couple of relationships. I'm trying to stick with the one right now.
Yeah.
But when it does come to mastering your mind and telling yourself you're capable of doing everything, that is the guy I want to listen to. So yeah, it's the simple practice of when I'm feeling kind of down on myself, because we all get there when I feel like I can't do something. I try and preach my message to other people, but sometimes I need somebody to preach to me because I need to hear somebody else's way of doing it. And so I'll turn on his audio book. I'll go listen to some of his clips on social media, and I'll say, all right, I know you don't know me, David Goggins, but you're inspiring me right now. I'm going to get to work, because he mastered his mind.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Yeah. And he's going to tell you to push through no matter what. Right, Brandon?
Exactly.
Push through that thing. You can do it.
Yeah.
And well, I'm very interested in the guy, and I really enjoyed reading some of his books. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, but like you pushed through to the point that you practically ruined your body, you know, like, you know, and he did, like, in several occasions.
He talks about that, though.
Yeah, and he talks about it.
He definitely did. He says, I paved the way so you guys know you don't have to go break your bones, but you can do more.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You need somebody to pave the way.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. Brandon, I have worked in the field of bullying prevention for a long time, so I always ask a question about that. Do you have a story about bullying where mindfulness would have made a difference?
That is a great question. I was blessed growing up, and I'm not going to sit there and framework some story and say, oh, I was hurt in some way. I got along with pretty much everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter your race, your religion, your orientation, and I can get along with pretty much anyone. But I do want to share a story of somebody who I call my brother these days. And I want this to hopefully resonate with somebody. And I appreciate you asking this question specifically, Bruce. I've never been able to talk about this over a podcast. I have a best friend who, like I said, I consider a brother now. His name's Dawson. We went to middle school together. I met him my sixth grade year. Dawson, he recognizes this now. He was a weird kid. Mega weird dude. He, at the time, his dad was very old considering our father's age. Everyone at my school, his dad was a lot older than the rest of our parents. And Dawson, he grew up just like his dad. His mom was in the picture. And so he grew up fishing, going boating, doing outdoorsy activities, which I like all those things, but he took it to an extreme. That's all he could talk about. He'd run around at our recess or at our lunchtime, and he'd act like he was driving a boat. And Dawson was just he was an interesting guy. And at school, I went to a charter school in middle school, so it was a pretty small group. So nobody was ever really rude to each other because we all had classes together. The teachers all knew us. And it was just too small to ever be like a traditional "I'm gonna bully you" type situation. But you could definitely tell Dawson was kind of the odd one out. And he's talked to me about this before, and he felt sometimes like he didn't really have anyone to turn to. And at the time, being in middle school, you do not want to be the kid who's best friends with the guy who's everyone thinks is weird. You just don't want to be.
Yeah.
And so I was always nice to him, and he recognizes that. But I was never like, "Yo, Dawson, come hang out with us. Come eat lunch with us." Was never that situation.
Yeah.
Fast forward. That was all sixth grade year. Fast forward to the very end of it. I'm sitting at church one day, and I turn around. Guess who's sitting right behind me? Never been there before. It's Dawson and his dad. They're sitting right behind me at church. And me and my little middle school head, I'm thinking, what on earth? Why are they at my church today? Like, what's going on here? And I'm so confused. And I end up talking to him afterwards. There's a little youth group we go to. And I start hearing his story. Him and his dad were looking for something to kind of go to. Their last church didn't work out for him, and they were looking for something new. And long story short, he ends up coming to church with us. He joins the congregation, him and his father, and they go with us throughout the rest of the time, all throughout sixth grade, all the way through high school. And I still make contact with him today. He's one of my best friends. And it just goes to show that sometimes the person you don't think you could be friends with, you can create a connection with, or sometimes the outlier in a group, he needs a friend more than anyone, and you never know where it's going to take you. Dawson turned out from this really awkward and kind of goofy guy, and he is my absolute best friend now. I rely on him. I call him every single week. He lives up in Idaho now, but I talk to him every single week. Whenever he passes through, I'm able to talk to him or give him a place to stay when he's driving through. And it's just those kind of stories that resonate with me that I'm like, had he not shown up to church, would I have ever made this kind of friend? Would I have opened up my heart and my arms to him and said, "Hey, come hang out with us. Come sit with us at lunch." I want to say that I would, but I honestly don't know if I would have. So anyone out there who's struggling with that today, I'm not saying you're in middle school right now, but maybe it's a coworker. You see them eating by themselves during your lunch break, or it's somebody at your local college or anything like that. Find somebody who seems like an outlier. It was weird at first. When Dawson started hanging out with us outside of church and outside of school, it was awkward. He would do things that a lot of us would be like, "I don't even know what you're talking about right now, dude." And we would go do things. He's like, "I've never played this kind of game before." But slowly, as we started molding our friendship and becoming stronger and stronger, we adapted to each other. And looking back now, if I didn't have him in my life, I don't know where I'd be. He's taught me so much. And I can't believe that I would have never met him had he not shown up to church one Sunday. It's crazy.
Wow, Brandon, that is a great story. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. That really is powerful, because it's true. Like, there's people around us all the time, and we don't know what they're going through. We don't know a lot about them. And sometimes we just kind of jump to conclusions and think, "Oh, you know, I don't think I connect with that person or this person." But sometimes if you're just being a little bit more open and you just reach out, you can end up being friends with somebody like that. So that's an amazing story, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you offering that questions so I could talk about
it. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, as we move forward in the interview, Brandon, I want to ask you five quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this: who is one person who has been a powerful mindfulness influence in your life?
I read the Bible a lot, and so I'm going to have to go with Matthew. When I read in the book of Matthew, he was the scribe for a lot of the gospels you read in the Bible.
Yeah.
And when I think mindfulness, I think Matthew. He took the time when Jesus is performing all these miracles, to sit there, write them down so we could have them now. That's who I picture, because he took the time to, when Christ is performing miracles or doing anything crazy, he took the time to sit down and write it down.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's talk about emotions. Let's talk about how mindfulness is affected, how you deal with your emotions.
Once again, my mindfulness goes back to prayer. When I sit down and I, quote unquote, meditate or pray, I sit down when I'm struggling for the most part. I try for my best. I think everyone out there who's a believer does, to have my prayers of pure gratitude where I thank. But to be honest, a lot of us, when we're praying, it's because something's going wrong or our emotions are awry or something crazy is happening. Yeah. And so when I sit down and I take the time to just close my eyes, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, and just pray, that's where I feel my stress alleviated and I could start getting everything under control.
Yeah, good point. How about breathing? Do you have any thoughts or comments about breathing in your life?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, getting into the cold shower, still uncomfortable, but I'm a little bit more used to it now. When I first got in, going from cold in the dead of winter here in Utah, it's coming out of the pipes really cold, that water. It was long, deep breaths, yeah. Very frantic at the beginning, but I recognized I was getting better as those frantic breaths would slowly come down to a little bit slower, slower, slower.
Yeah, that's one of the things about ice cold showers is that it forces you to do deep breathing, doesn't it?
You have to. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done ice immersion? Have you ever done Wim Hof
stuff? Oh, absolutely. I got a plunge out in my backyard now where I go sit in it after workouts. The issue with that one is during the summer, the cold water still works for the showers, but the issue with that thing during the summer is it's too warm of water. It feels like you're in a little mini kid pool. And so you got to buy a ton of ice and it just becomes a pain. But during the winter, you best believe it.
Oh, cool. That's great. And I want to ask you about a book. Is there a book you recommend that can help with mindfulness?
As funny as that sounds, I do recommend all the David Goggins books. He is very intense on some of his theories, but if you can apply them into your own lives, and I'm sorry for any of the language, if you guys don't like the language, that man is a sailor and he will not stop cursing, but he definitely teaches you how to control your mind, which I appreciate.
Do you have a favorite one of his books?
My favorite book, actually, it's about him, but it's not written by him. Oh. It's called Living with a Seal. It's by Jesse Itzler. Jesse Itzler, if anyone knows his story, multi-billionaire. His wife is Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. Very loaded family, but also an amazing charitable family, always looking for ways to give back, whether that's through verbal conversations or actual money donations. He hired David Goggins to go live with him before David Goggins was David Goggins, before anyone knew his name. Jesse Itzler saw him at a race and he said, "What on earth?" It was a team relay. And David Goggins was by himself. He didn't have a team. He did the race by himself when everyone else had like four members to the team. And he goes, "I don't know what the heck. This guy wasn't stretching before the race. I don't know who this guy is." And afterwards, he ends up calling him. He gets the race directory and he calls David. And he goes, "You don't know me, but I was at this race. I want to hire you to come live with me and put me through hell so I can become stronger." And that's exactly what he did. It's hilarious. It's like a 5-hour listen if you do it on Audible, a couple hour read, and it will get you going because it's a mixture of motivation and hilarious stories and just inspiration at the same time.
Well, that's cool. I have not read that book, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for
highly, highly recommend it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, tell me, are there any apps that you recommend at all that can help with mindfulness?
I've used one in the past. It's called Sonvelo. If anyone's ever heard of that one.
How do you spell that?
It's kind of,
is it sound?
I believe it's S-O-N.
Okay.
Sonvelo. E-V-E-L-L-O.
Okay. I haven't heard of this one. Sonvelo.
Check that out. It's kind of like all the basic other apps where, you know, white noise or guided meditations. Mm-hmm. I've used that before. But once again, sorry for anyone out there who's not a believer. My favorite mindfulness app or app where I can settle down with, open up the Bible app.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's the one that's going to get you in key.
Yeah, someone recently told me about an app called Balance, and it uses AI, and it asks you all kinds of questions about where you're at and, as far as mindfulness is concerned. And then it uses that to give you reminders and things like that. Have you heard of this app?
I haven't. That does sound interesting.
I thought you'd be very interested in it.
Yeah. After this episode, you'll have to tell me one more time, and I'll download it when we're not on air here.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I want to throw one more plug out there.
Yeah.
Just because it's somebody I know who's working on this. Four people I know are creating an app right now. It's called Levo Therapy. So anyone who goes out and visits with a therapist on a regular basis, one of the kind of pain points they recognized is you show up to the therapist, they give you actionable items to take away for the next week or 2 weeks or however often mm-hmm. you meet with the therapist. And a lot of times you don't either remember what they said or you don't know how to practice it. And so what this app does is your therapist goes on and they give you reminders and it automatically reminds you. They say, all right, this is what our session was about. This is what you need to go practice. So then on your app throughout the week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, up until you meet with the therapist again, you can go on every day and be like, okay, this is what I need to practice. This is how I'm going to do it. And then kind of like you were mentioning, like that other app, it gives you kind of updates and says, all right, this is where you need to be. Here are some ideas on how you can improve. How are you feeling right now? And it just tracks all that information for both your therapist and yourself, so you can kind of stay in that good state.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Mindful Tribe, I'll put all of these suggestions into our show notes at mindfulnessmode.com. So yeah, you can look for that. So Brandon, tell me this. I know that your podcast is called Get Over Yourself. We can all find that and listen to it. But what's another good way to connect with you?
Yeah, if you check out the show notes on any single episode, it has all my links on there. I have a little link tree where you're able to email me, find me on social media. My DMs are always open. My email is always open. Anyone who has a question, concern, comment for me. If you love the way I sound, if you hated the way I sound, any kind of feedback is appreciative, so I can hopefully continue to share a positive message.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. Well, as we wrap up the interview, I want to ask you one more question, and that is, do you have any final words of advice for our Mindful Tribe listeners?
Yeah, I appreciate this question, Bruce. My final piece of advice with whatever you guys are trying to start right now, it's a new relationship, a business, a practice with God, a fitness journey. Maybe it's more education. You're trying to become more educated in a certain subject. My ultimate piece of advice, as cliche as this sounds, is just get started. I released a podcast over a year ago now that was titled, You're Preparing Too Much. Bruce, I'm an Eagle Scout. I fully believe in the motto of be prepared. I live that motto in my day-to-day life. But at some points in life, preparation becomes procrastination because you don't want to get started on something. So my ultimate piece of advice, whatever you guys are trying to do right now to practice your mindfulness, to become a better version of yourself, to get out of your comfort zone, just get started. It won't go good. You're going to fail. You're going to go through ups and downs, but getting started is where it matters. Perfect story. I'll end the episode with here. I'm getting into road biking. I'm doing a race here in a couple months and never done any road biking. Did a little bit of mountain biking, but never road biking. And so brand new concept to me. Just yesterday, I got my new clip-in shoes and pedals. So I've never used clip-in shoes before. I get going down the road. I figure out how to clip them in. I'm doing great. Brand new experience for me. I get to a stop sign. There's cars coming. I should have probably figured out how to unclip first. And so I fall over. I scratch up my entire body. If I showed you on the camera right now, I got scrapes and bruises all up and down my body from yesterday. But where I was so happy, I started laughing after I fell because I said, you know what? I got started. Probably should have done a little bit more research, but I got started.
You did it.
So that's my advice to everyone out there. Just get started. You might fall over and get a couple scrapes and bruises, but just get started.
Great advice, Brandon. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the world and helping people and getting the message out there. And all the best to you.
Thank you, Bruce. And thank you to everyone who listened today.
Yeah. Take care. Bye now. Hey, Mindful Tribe. Thanks for joining us today. And I want to thank my sponsor, Athletic Greens. They have a product called AG1. And I can tell you that this is a terrific product. It contains 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, and probiotics. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy free, or gluten free, this will work for you. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial ingredients. It supports better sleep and better alertness. Athletic Greens uses the best products based on the latest science, and it costs less than $3. $8 a day. So here's a special offer for you, Mindful Tribe. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mindfulness. And with that, take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.